Senator Durbin, Senator Schumer, and Tyson Slocum from Public Citizen on the line, and we're ready to begin. Senator Durbin.
Thank you very much. Tomorrow, we're going to have an important cloture vote on the Consumer First Energy Act. This is a bill which we hope will be brought to the floor, considered and passed this week. The number one issue facing America is the cost of energy. We hear it every time we go home, the cost of gasoline, diesel fuel, jet fuel's impact on the airlines and the bankruptcies that they face, heating oil prospects for this coming winter in the New England area and other parts of the country. There's no doubt in my mind that if we don't come to grips with this energy situation as quickly as possible, we're going to find ourselves in a deep recession that's going to hurt a lot of people and a lot of businesses in the process. The Democrats in the Senate want to take the initiative. First, we think the oil and gas companies need to know that there is a limit to how much profit-taking they can expect in this economy. They've done extremely well, not only breaking records for their industry, but breaking records for all American businesses in the profits that they've taken out of this economy over the last year or more. We also want to go after the issue of price gouging. There are things going on now in terms of the pricing of gasoline and other products that need to be investigated, and we want this administration to stop standing by the sidelines and get directly involved in this. We're also working on giving the Attorney General additional authority to bring enforcement action against OPEC countries. This is Senator Herb Kohl's initiative that he's worked on for some time. We're also talking about the speculation in oil futures and ways to bring this into a more transparent situation to discourage the kind of abuse which we're afraid is running up the price of oil far beyond what the ordinary forces of supply and demand might lead to. We need bipartisan support for this to happen. If our Republican colleagues are hearing the same thing back home that we're all hearing in our states, there is no excuse. We've got to pass this cloture motion, move to this bill, get it enacted, and off to the president as quickly as possible. My colleague, Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, hi. And this is going to be a key whether the Republican senators are listening to their constituents or are just into an obstruction mode. If they don't give us the chance to debate this bill by denying us an ability to move forward, it's clear that they are saying $4 gas prices are okay with us. Well, they're not okay with we Democrats in the Senate. And that's why we've worked hard on a package that will really deliver. And some of it could deliver to people very soon. Some of it will deliver a little longer. And after we do this, we're going to move to the energy tax bill so that we can shift our tax policies to move forward into alternative energy. The bottom line is energy is killing the average American family. It's killing our economy. It's killing our foreign policy. And if you could do one thing, if you could wave a magic wand and do one thing, it would be to heal our energy policy. And the problem, what's so frustrating here is we know how to solve it. It's just that George Bush, Dick Cheney, and most of the Republicans in Congress, including the Senate leadership, are tied to the oil companies, and they think the status quo is perfectly okay. They say, well, let the market take care of it. Well, we have learned over the years that when you have only five big oil companies and an oligopoly overseas, the market just doesn't work. And so we're going to be doing everything we can to make energy an issue. We believe it's the right thing to do substantively for America, and we believe politically it is something that the American people are demanding. Let me talk a little bit about the provision that I've written, which is the windfall profits tax. The bottom line is big oil is making record profits. And we have devised a new way to deal with this. It's not just based on how much the price of oil was. That's where the windfall profits taxes failed last time, but rather on the exact profitability of the big oil company. Under our bill, $10 to $12 billion would go to deliver immediate relief to consumers this year if it passed. There would be tax credits for energy-efficient appliances. There would be investments in alternative energy sources, or if the Congress proposed, once this tax were imposed, direct rebates to consumers, akin to stimulus checks in the process of being mailed out to taxpayers. What are the oil companies doing with these profits? Well, they've increased their advertising budget. They are buying back their stock. Exxon spent about 60% of its profits simply to buy back stock. That helps Exxon shareholders, doesn't help the American consumer. one bit. Overall, big oil spent $52 billion on buybacks in 2006. And so what our bill does is take those dollars and either put them in the consumer's pocket or into alternative energy, both conservation and production of new. And it's very much needed and very much demanded, as are the other provisions in our legislation, which are the NOPEC provision, the price gouging provision, and the
speculation,
market manipulation. Bottom line is, there are both short-term and long-term relief, and the American people are telling us one thing in the Senate. Let's get on with it. We hope to do that tomorrow.
Tyson Slocum.
Yeah, this is Tyson Slocum, and I direct the energy program with Public Citizen. We're America's largest consumer advocacy group, and we strongly support this legislation, Senate Bill 3044, because it really broadly encompasses the kinds of things that we've been talking about in my congressional testimony, both before the House and the Senate recently, and also what we're hearing from our members across the country and from Americans all over the United States, that they're suffering under the weight of high energy prices. And the two key areas where Senate Bill 3044 would succeed in helping to alleviate this current crisis is, first, holding big oil companies accountable and reforming the broken subsidy system that we have. It is outrageous that American tax dollars are pouring billions of dollars to help enrich oil companies. And one great thing that this bill does is it addresses some of those most egregious ones and enacts a very fair windfall profits tax to help finance this new Energy Independence and Security Trust Fund. Because the key here is providing necessary revenues to help give families access to alternatives to high-priced oil. And that's what this Energy Independence and Security Trust Fund would do, and it would be financed by asking big oil to pay its fair share. It's still going to allow oil companies to earn a reasonable profit. It's just going to deny them the ability to earn the kind of windfall profits that they have been. And the second big issue that Public Citizen has been concerned about and that this bill successfully addresses is ensuring that all Americans have access to competitive energy markets. Namely, this bill would, for the really the first time, bring foreign-based energy trading under the regulatory jurisdiction of the United States. It is not good policy to allow foreign-based energy trading systems to operate free from government regulation. We need to have greater transparency over those markets. Increasing the margin requirements will also reduce the level of speculation, because right now, as has been well documented, speculators have been driving the price of oil far higher than the supply-demand fundamentals show. So overall, Public Citizen strongly endorses this bill because it really is the kind of comprehensive approach to energy policy that Americans need.
Thanks, Tyson. Take questions.
Senator Durbin?
Yes.
Hi, it's Emily Pierce at Roll Call. I just wonder, is there any estimate here of whether or not this bill would have any effect on current gas prices, either in the near or long term?
Well, the interesting thing is that there is a provision here that would guarantee us that prices will go down immediately, which we all want to see happen. But it is an interesting psychology out there. If there is a feeling that government is finally awakened to the hardship that's being created and is going to take a more forceful bipartisan position against it, we have seen that there can be an impact. 2 weeks ago, when the Federal Trade Commission sent them a letter and they agreed to initiate an investigation on the spread in prices between crude oil and refined products, at least for a moment, the overall price of a barrel of crude oil went down for a period of time. It was the first evidence of government response. So, yes, I think even bringing these matters before Congress, having a thorough debate, moving them forward to the president's desk, may slow down some of this rampant speculation and these price run-ups.
And let me just say one other thing. This is Chuck Schumer. Many, many people estimate that a certain proportion is due to speculation, not simple supply and demand. Price doesn't go up $10 a day if it's just demand. There wasn't a huge jump in demand the day it went up, but there are a lot of speculators who are pumping up the price. So that would have an immediate effect. Another thing that would have an immediate effect is if we did the windfall profits tax, decided to send some or all of that money as a rebate to consumers. So this is both long-term and short-term. And as Dick mentioned, a lot of the markets are psychological. When somebody predicts it'll go up to $150 a barrel, the price gets pushed up that way regardless of supply and demand. I know somebody in the oil industry who told me, based on supply and demand, it should have gone up from about $50 a barrel where it was 3 years ago, a year and a half ago, to $80 a barrel. And so we think it will have an effect in both direct and indirect ways, in the short term.
Can I follow up on that, Kevin Hall with McClatchy? Senator, on that point, the margin requirements, do you guys fix a number on the margin requirements?
No.
Force more?
We don't.
Why not?
We don't fix a number because we've been told that that has never been done. We talked to experts who were involved in this, CFTC and otherwise, and we do. If you look at the language, the requirement will have to go up significantly, but we leave it to the regulator.
What range do you think would be effective to curtailing some of this speculation?
Well, right now the margin requirement is so low for oil, not for other commodities, 50% on stocks, 5% on oil, that even a doubling of it would have a significant increase.
Senators, this is JT from the Hill. Could I ask you, first of all, do you think there would be any psychological impact to $5 a gallon gas? Could that be a threshold? And secondly, as you mentioned, you do need support from the other side of the aisle. So given that, has anyone talked to Senator McConnell about what he would accept and or the White House?
Well, Senator McConnell last week said that he wanted to offer an amendment relative to drilling in Anwar. We expect that. That is the Republican response to every concern about the energy situation in America. Let's just drill in Alaska. The problems will go away. Well, we know better. You can't drill your way out of them. But if Senator McConnell wants to offer that amendment, then we're prepared to debate it and vote on it. That's been done in the past. And if others want to offer amendments along these same lines, I'm sure Senator Schumer, Senator Reid, we all feel, bring these amendments forward. Let's have an honest debate about them and have them reach a conclusion. As to whether or not $5 is some sort of a mental barrier, I've heard this too many times. I think I heard it at $3. I certainly heard it at $4. And I don't even want to speculate where this could end unless there is some leadership shown on this issue. Since the president will not lead, I hope the Congress will.
Let me just say one other thing on this. I mean, Anwar would not produce more oil for 7 to 10 years. And that's why it's such a weak answer. And our worry here, we are concerned. I spoke to Senator Reid this morning. He's very concerned as well that Senator McConnell and the Republican minority will not let us debate this. And let's again underscore, they want to offer amendments on anything energy related. We are happy to have a debate, whether our proposals or theirs, including Anwar, 7 to 10 years in the future, is the way to bring relief. I have a feeling they don't really want to have that debate. And my worry, concern, is that they are going to try and block this. I think it's more like than not right now, and I think there'll be an outcry from the American people.
Senators, it's David Hirshenhorn with the New York Times. Not just Anwar, but obviously the Republicans have talked about potential drilling off the coasts. Is there any openness on the part of the Democrats to hearing those arguments out?
Let me answer that, David. I led the charge and got a bunch of Democratic votes to allow drilling in the East Gulf a few years ago. There's lots of place where there's the most oil and gas near existing refinery capacity is in the Gulf. And as you know, drilling was prohibited in the whole half of the Gulf of Mexico. And that has the estimates of having the greatest amount of oil and gas available to us. And we had a bunch of Democrats, as I said, I led the charge, vote for it. And we'd be willing to, I would, and I think there are a large number of Democrats who would be willing to accelerate that. So we're willing to look for possible places of oil and gas in the continental United States, but A, we don't think you can drill your way out of this, as Dick said, and that is not an answer. We need alternatives. That's the answer in the long-term future. And B, other than the East Gulf, relief is a very long time away because either you don't know if you have the oil, it's harder technologically to do, and it's not near a whole lot of refineries.
And what would you need to do? What could you do to speed that up?
Pardon?
What could you do to accelerate it, you said?
Well, right now the vote was just on one tract, you know, which is, I don't know how many square miles, but a lot, but not, you know, it's maybe a tenth or a twentieth of the East Gulf.
This is Tom Doggett with Reuters. Could you just explain thoroughly, procedurally, what's going to have to happen tomorrow for this bill to move forward?
We need 60 votes on a motion for cloture. 60, okay. At that point, we proceed to the bill, and it's open for amendment. And, you know, we haven't had much luck with the Republicans in this approach. They won't come up with a list of amendments for the longest period of time. Last week, Senator McConnell insisted on the reading of a bill. Pretty soon, they burnt off an entire week's effort with a handful of votes, and nothing substantive occurs. So the question is whether they're going to show good faith. I really can't believe you can go back home and tell your voters that you really care about the energy issue and then spend all your week in Washington doing your best to stop the debate. So they'll have the chance tomorrow.
If you don't get it tomorrow, if you don't get the 60 votes, are you going to break any of this apart into separate bills, two or three things that the Republicans could support?
We're going to keep at the energy issue for a long time because we know it's important. There are a number of other things we can do. Right after this bill, we would go to the energy tax relief bill that has the extenders, which would change our tax policy to encourage alternative fuel development and exploration. And we would consider breaking it apart if we couldn't get this done. We have other energy measures as well. We are going to focus on this issue for the rest of the summer and all through this session of Congress because it's so important to the American people.
This is Chris Hawley from the Energy Daily. On the tax extender bill, do you have any indication that the new offsets that the House used are any more attractive to the Senate Republicans?
Well, you know, we are worried about that. I speak as a member of the Finance Committee. We discussed this before. You know, we did have 47 of them sign a letter that they wouldn't do any kind of offset at all. And again, you know, the mantle of fiscal responsibility has passed to the Democratic Party because of it. But we don't know if they'd be willing. We'll have to see. First test will be the energy tax relief proposal, which is coming up this week as well.
And is that vote going to be on Wednesday, the cloture petition for the tax bill?
Dick?
I don't know that it is. I mean, I would have to double check.
It's next in order after this one. But
I think
the plan is to come up with that after this, and I think it might take 30 hours to do again.
Okay. I see.
Senator Durbin, it's David from the Times again. Can you just tell us if you've spoken with Senator Obama? Obviously, he's stressing an economic message this week. Not surprising that we'd hear similar things from Democrats on the Hill and on the trail, but to what extent are you having conversations about speaking with sort of a unified voice to American voters and constituents?
I have not spoken to Senator Obama about the particulars and specifics in this bill, so I don't want to represent his position on that. I let his campaign and let him speak to those. But I have spoken to him this morning, and over the weekend he is launching visitations this week and the next and probably in the foreseeable future, focusing on the economy. It is the number one issue. And if the people understand that as these energy prices go through the roof, as the stock market craters, as we have the highest unemployment figure increase in recent years, the Bush economic policies have failed. John McCain endorses those policies. He's voted for those policies. There is a clear contrast between Obama and McCain when it comes to the economic policies of the future. I will tell you in the most general terms, because Barack has spoken to this as well, that he would not stand on the sidelines, as President Bush has done, and watch this economy get into this terrible strait without stepping forward. And I believe that he would use the power of his office and the power of his administration to try to come to the rescue of families and businesses across America.
And let me just say this. I mean, we in the Senate relish the opportunity to work with Senator Obama. I think there will now that the primary season is over, there's going to be a clear voice. And as Dick said, you know, even if we haven't hashed out the specifics, the general view of alternative energy, of going after the oil companies, of making sure that the consumer gets some relief, we're in sync. And we think, you know, this summer and fall, between the presidential campaign and what we're doing in the Congress will resound and magnify one another, and we think it'll improve our message and our ability to convince the American people both that we need a Democratic president and we need more votes in the Senate.
Senators, this is Tom Doggett again with Reuters. What do you
last
make,
question as well?
Okay, thanks. What do you make of this comment from the Saudis today that there needs to be an emergency meeting between the oil-consuming nations, that the current run-up in prices is unjustified?
Let me say this about that. I put out a statement on this. We don't need a meeting. We need the Saudis to increase production and increase production immediately. Five of us on the Democratic side have introduced a resolution to block the arms sale to Saudi Arabia until they start, showing that our relationship is a two-way street. The bottom line is the Saudi production is lower than it was in 2005, at least in the most recent numbers. I think there are new numbers coming out today. And they could easily pump 2 million barrels more of oil. If they just produced 1 million barrels more of oil, which they could do with the snap of a finger, price would go down 62.5 cents a gallon. The president goes to Saudi Arabia, he pats the Saudi leadership on the back, and they don't do a thing. And it's clear that OPEC's view has changed. While a few years ago, the Saudis said, well, they were going to make sure by increasing production that oil didn't go above $35 a barrel. Now there's a view, there's plenty of oil on the market. Well, just the price shows that there's not enough oil on the market. And I think the Saudi meeting doesn't do the job at all. I think it's an attempt for them to sort of shift the blame rather than do something. And they have more power to do it in the short term than just about anybody else. And we think that our relationship with the Saudis ought to change until they do that.
Thank you, Senators.
Thanks, everybody.